You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity. Everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future, we all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation.
This call may be recorded or transcribed.
Those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotel family, hope everything was well with you today. Hope you're going to have a great day, a great weekend. Hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it is not, and it must be done, it can't. It just has to be done, and it will get done, because why? You will do it, and you will do it safely. And that's right. That's the kind of brother and sister that you is, and that's why we have a lot of reverence and love and respect for you. So continue to do what it necessarily needs to be done. You're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcast. Click on that. In the drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Also, to be sure, the shortcut, Baba Oshi, BABAOSHI.net, BabaOshi.net, and bam, I'll take you right there as well. And I really appreciate Brother Kwaku and the work that he's done. In fact, I'm pretty much, he says, we're up to date. So there's a lot of good programs on there that for your listening and understanding and conscious raising pleasure. You're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. I need to get an updated. I keep saying that. And I'm going to call Elliot and get an updated list, because this, I don't think Acres of Diamonds is happening, but I know that from 8 to 9 on Monday, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Cambon and her daughter Nataki Cambon comes on. And then from 9 to 10, Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra every first and third Mondays. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. on Tuesdays. On Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. on Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report. And then if it's Friday, like today, it's Friday. Oh, yeah. Well, at Friday at 8 p.m. this evening, it'll be Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Fridays, Time for an Awakening. Saturdays from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Council of Elders. The Sankofa Council of Elders. From 7 to 9 on Saturday. And then on Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American and African owned businesses, is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American and African owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. Brothers and sisters, go to WeBuyBlack.com and spend some money. Support WeBuyBlack.com. Also, give a donation. They're still in the process. I think they raised over $500,000, but they need to raise about 1.3 or 2 or something to that effect to make the supermarket a reality here in the Atlanta area. Yes, that's right. We don't have a supermarket in the Atlanta area. I know. It's pathetic. And yeah, it is. But one day it'll happen. Yep.
Africa for the Africans. Brother Bamani Tayemba, he's ready to take another group of our people to Africa in a couple of weeks. In fact, it's next week. So I'm going to try to get him on the program to talk about this trip to Tanzania. You know, some pronounce it Tanzania. November 18th through the 29th. November 18th through the 29th. Then when he comes back, there's another trip for Ghana. December 24th through January 5th to Ghana. December 24th to January 5th. And then April 1st to April 11th, 2022, is Senegal and Gambia. A good friend of mine is going on that trip. Yep, that's right. A good friend of mine. We're taking that trip with Brother Bomani. And then May 24th to June 5th, 2022, to Ghana. May 24th to June 5th. These are for $3,800. He had raised them $100. They were $37. They're $3,800. Still a very good price for a trip of a lifetime. And everything you need is on the website of African for the Africans. Africa for the Africans. If you want to give Brother Bomani a call, give him a call at 404-931-9429. That's 404-931-9429. Brothers and sisters, if you want to see photos of previous tours, go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. Habashah. Habashahincorporated.org. Habashah stands for helping establish schools. Helping Africa establish schools at home and abroad. Habashahincorporated.org. They do great work. Great work. It is a pan-African organization that cultivates leadership in youth and families through practical experiences in cultural education, sustainable agriculture, entrepreneurship, holistic health, and technology. They have outstanding programs, Habashah Works program, Black to Our Roots, Sustainable Seeds, the Golden Growers, and the Urban Green Jobs. And, of course, the Kashi Project that is happening on the continent right now, the Kashi Project in Ghana. So check out HabashahIncorporated.org. The Ledge Group, land for the environmental development of group economics. The Ledge Group. Become a member of the Ledge Group. They deal with the four areas of human existence: food, water, clothing, and shelter. They have 12 projects in 6 countries, with over 170 employed and over 216 members. Become a member of the Ledge Group. In fact, if you are a member of the Ledge Group, you have an opportunity to buy land in Tanzania. $250 an acre, you can buy land in Tanzania. Maybe get you 1,000 acres. For $1,000. I mean, 4 acres, not 1,000. Get you 4 acres or $1,000. That's a lot of acres. That's a lot of land. And you can do a lot with that. Yeah. The Ledge Group. Go to theledgegroup.com. Bibi Atumi. ABIBITUMI.com. BibiAtumi.com. Brothers and sisters, BibiAtumi.com is a website that you need to be on consistently for all that it does for our people. BibiAtumi.com. They have all kinds of programs, African language programs. Remember, I said that we need to learn an African language. On BibiAtumi, you can do that. And then many other webinars and programs. You know, all kinds of good stuff that comes on BibiAtumi.com. They sell a lot of things. They have groups and forums and events. So BibiAtumi, ABIBITUMI.com, BibiAtumi.com. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in Atlanta, here in the West End, right across the street from Soul Vegetarian, up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna, which is open on Fridays and Saturdays. The Shrine is open on Fridays and Saturdays, and you can check Baba Olatunji out, and of course the classes are happening too on the web. So check out the Shrine of the Black Madonna. from 1 to 7 on Friday and Saturdays. And, of course, the Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, give them a call. They have delicious smoothies and fruit drinks and pastries and all kind of good healthy stuff. On Saturday and Sunday, they have vegan food being sold. So give them a call at 404-444-1635. That's 404-444-1635. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Mama Nia, check her out in the Greenbrier Mall. A nice store, a new location right on the main thoroughfare. And great selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, figurines, T-shirts, all kinds of good stuff for you at the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Give her a call at 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. And my good brother Gazimde Ajamu's project of Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. That is east of here, east of Atlanta, on off I-20. And brother Jamu has done outstanding work with the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore, and has a coffee bar in there, man, with serving delicious Cameroon Boyo, my favorite coffee, and teas, assorted teas, and other coffees. Check them out at the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. Give him a call, because he may have the book that you desire, and if he doesn't, he'll get it for you at 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107, the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. The Homeland Village. Homeland Village in Macon, Georgia. 2910 Napier Avenue in Macon, Georgia. Give our good brother Abijah a call at 478-256-1166. 478-256-1166. The Cultural Village. They have an array of stuff for you. They have furniture, clothing, books, healthcare items. They even have serve vegan food. They even have a restaurant inside the Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop in Macon, Georgia. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for Our People in the Spirit of Ujamaa. They had that Thursday night broadcast last night, every Thursday night on Blog Talk Radio. Go to blogtalkradio.com/ULU, Us Lifting Us, for their Thursday night broadcast from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. on Thursday nights. The Us Lifting Us Thursday night broadcast. And you can call to listen, or you can call to make your questions or give your questions, comments, or concerns at 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us. Okay, where am I? Oh, here I am. Here I is. Sun Goddess Sense. Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop, located at 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia. It's inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. That's right, Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop. Contact my good sister, Shelly Amonset. Give my sister, Shelly Amonset, a call at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop. Sanjay-Haiti, Sister Gabrielle Aurelia, and who's doing outstanding work in the island of Haiti, in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti. That's the opposite of where the latest earthquake happened. So they may not have been affected too badly by the earthquake. But go online. Go to Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E-Haiti. A-Y-I-T-I, Sanjay-Haiti.org, and check out for yourself the good work that they're doing with those children. They deal with education, healthcare, sustainable agriculture, and entrepreneurship. Check out Sanjay-Haiti. Ackerman Institute. I know Baba Broody has Kibuka coming up, and I will be promoting that. And so you can prepare, because it's online. But I tell you, hopefully next year it'll be something that you can attend because it's much more, much more effective live, the impact. Yeah. Akabin Institute. Brothers and sisters, support Baba Baruti and Mama Ya Baruti at Akabin Institute. Send your check or money order out. Make your check or money order. Make your check or money order out to Akabin Institute. Send it to P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia 30310. But you can use PayPal and Cash App. Say, for instance, you want to use Cash App, the dollar sign, YAA, the letter M, and then Baruti, BARUTI. And you can make your donations on a monthly basis, whatever how you want to do it, one-time donation, whatever it is. But be supportive of the work that they are doing. Also, too, he's a prolific writer, so you can go to AkabinHouse.com. AkabinHouse.com for the array of books that Baba Baruti has that you can order. All right. I tell you, we're going to read Dienye Sasim. I haven't been here in a while. I haven't been here in a few weeks. I'm glad to be back. I'm glad to be here. I did search some ones that I didn't read. I'm only going to read the November 8th and then yesterday and then today and tomorrow. Dienye Sasim. November 8th. And the reason I'm going to read this, because it's always a proverb or African proverb that I've always said to people, particularly to my daughters, it's not what they call you, it's what you answer to. It's not what they call you, it's what you answer to. It is in the nature of our seemingly eternal confinement in this particular hell that we have degenerated in what we see about us. We have become numb sponges to the negativity assaulting us. Many have even fallen for this negativity, promoting it and believing themselves to be the niggas and bitches they called each other. They actually answer to these insults. Racist oppression and exploitation has left them ignorant, powerless, and therefore feeling that they deserve this self-hatred. So they violently strike out against themselves and each other with words because they can no longer see the source of this pain. Of course, the popular lie is that these hateful words are terms of endearment, praise names, or ancient national identities. I know that was a discussion that we had about the word Nagas, and I know the shoes that I promote, the red, black, and green shoes, Nagas, and I know many people can see that, and they look at that word, and it's supposed to be kings in Ethiopia, I believe. I don't know. But when a word is so close to a defaming word, particularly in today's world, we got to analyze it and to understand it deeply before a word is being used to describe us or for us to describe ourselves. Of course, the popular lie is that these hateful words are terms of endearment, praise names, or ancient national identities, but nothing can be understood outside of cultural context. And in this insanity, they can never be expressions of any love Africans have for each other. Some degree of empathy is in order, though. A people desperate to find safety in a nightmare within which they are prey, from which they can see no reasonable escape, will grab onto anything to survive the slaughter. Still, terms of endearment are supposed to mentally and emotionally bring us together. They should not divide us and call our men and our women out of their names. Words like these are supposed to compliment us and express a sincere appreciation for our and each other's existence. They are supposed to indicate just how much we love and respect each other. They're supposed to be vibrations which we use to elevate one another and lead us, each of us, to become and be our very best. What we have come to call each other does the exact opposite in a world that already hates us enough. Affirm, I answer to greatness. Affirm, I answer to greatness. November 11th. What does the African study? It may be asked. He studies every day, morning, noon, and night, from the cradle to the grave. He is ever reading the book of nature, and there is never a chapter or page in this book which he is either ashamed or afraid to look at. He is constantly speaking to the earth, and the earth is constantly teaching him. Edward Wilmot Blyton, one of the great Pan-Africanists, Edward Wilmot Blyton. Credentials in classrooms are useless unless they lead us toward consciously applying knowledge to improve the quality of our community. Common African. Common African sense should always be the marker of our intelligence. Despiritualized, dehumanized philosophies which materialize every objective do nothing but move us away from our natural African way of knowing. We are a people of the people. We are the ascendants of those wise human beings who interpreted and credited reality of the model provided by divine order. Artificiality and distortion are not our natural way. They are not our natural way. In every single solitary area of human activity, we recognize our faults and human aspirations. We knew that if we are to be human, we have to mold our thinking to serve each other. We were fully aware that being human is a consciously benevolent participatory act. For this reason, our ancestors realized that wisdom, unapplied, is the exact opposite. Those of us who still accept that we are our ancestors know that wisdom is only found through conscious study of our divine consciousness. And by definition, study is the act of communing with the universal truth. Most importantly, though, we know that if it remains unapplied in service to our people as an intellectual property, it is of less worth through thoughts we should consider stupidity and stupid. Affirm, always and forever, I study nature. Affirm, always and forever, I study nature. November 12th. Have courage. Timidity and cowardice are for men who can see safety at their backs or retreat without molestation and find refuge in the familiar fields of their native lands. But they are not for you. You must be brave. Hannibal Bacher. Hannibal. Believe it or not, there are individuals in the conscious community with war constantly on their lips, who have no weapons or immediate access to them, who have complements in children, who are without felony convictions. This makes no African sense, especially knowing that war is being waged against us and that genocide has been at our door, and in fact, that it has opened it with treasonous keys. This makes no sense, period, except as a mentalcidal contradiction. Affirm, I am brave. Affirm, I am brave. November 13th. The most reliable way to predict and anticipate current and or future behaviors and relationships is to study and scrutinize past behaviors. Being historically conscious and cognizant of what is going on around us now and linking that with previous behaviors gives us more grounded view of reality. That way we really avoid falling for the proverbial okey-doke. Junius Ricardo Stanton. Our children's sanity must be protected from the Europeans' racial hostilities. I repeat, our children's sanity must be protected from the Europeans' racial hostilities. The esteem they bring into this world through the divine African womb has to be systematically cultivated and strengthened in this anti-African reality. Of course, in order to effectively do this, we have to know history, our story, and the cultural patterns and social trajectories which necessarily ensue from it. We must know the mind of those who seek to dehumanize us, as well as our timeless efforts to be human, to be African. It is the work of all of us to be and socialize our children into being African. We must protect their minds from the violence of the white mind, or lose their minds to the madness. Affirm, I study the past in order to correctly nation build the future. Affirm, I study the past in order to correctly nation build the future. Brothers and sisters, the Inye Sesim of daily revolutionary thought. I know that Baba Baruti, if you follow Baba Baruti on Facebook, he's been putting out a lot of memes, particularly as it relates to warriorhood, you know. And I think, I'm not sure, but considering it, this is, yesterday was Veterans Day, and I know people had pictures and thanking people for their service and so forth, you know. If you had chosen to fight for this country, or you were drafted to fight for this country, whatever, how it happened, you fought for this country, and we have a history of fighting for this country from our very existence here. From the time we were first brought here, we have fought in every conflict that this country has had. In fact, I just read a piece the other day. I don't know if it was in Germany or if it was in England, in some town in England or Germany, smaller town, where American African soldiers were treated, quote, equally. They could go into the pub and have a beer, and of course the European, Caucasian Americans did not want that to happen. So they were fighting each other in England or Germany. I'm not sure which country it was, but they were fighting each other, you know. And of course, a number of us got killed because they had more people and more armament. And the people of that land decided that they were not going to let the Caucasian Americans into the pub. They weren't going to let us in. You know? Yeah. The Caucasian Americans, or American Caucasians, or American Europeans, whatever you want to call them. I know white people, but, you know, they ain't white and we ain't black. They ain't showing the hell, they ain't supreme. But that is the history. That is the history. That's why I even mentioned about the Civil War. The Civil War was not fought because we were in captivity. Because once the war was over, look how we were treated everywhere in this country. They didn't fight for us. They fought because they understood from an economic standpoint what was going to be the direction of this country. Is it going to be the emergence of the industrialization of the North and a free labor economy, or was it going to be a captivity economy based on our captivity? That's what it was about. Now, you can use the word our captivity or enslavement or slavery. if you will, if you want. But no, to me, now, you can get any book to say that, yes, that war was fought. But to me, you can't say that, because why? Look how we were treated afterwards. Look how we were treated in every war we fought in. Memorial Day is something that we did. That's something that we did. And they took that. That's something that we did, because why? We wanted to give a proper burial to some Caucasians who fought in that war. Decoration Day. And we decorated some of the graves and gave them a proper burial. Later, they named it and took it and named it Memorial Day. Well, you know, once again, dear brothers and sisters, you know, this is theirs, not ours. So, you know, if they want to take something that we initiated, they can do so. And call it their own. They can do so. This is theirs. You know, you want to argue about, you know, who started it? You want to make an issue about how it was taken? So be it. But it falls on deaf ears, because this is theirs, not ours. You know. So all of these wars, we fight for democracy. We fight for all of this, and we come back and we get nothing. We come back after World War I, and the bloodiest time, the red hot summer of 1919, right after the First World War. You know, situation in Tulsa, brothers came back, they had guns from World War One, and they tried to protect the brother that they had in custody. And then a Caucasian who felt that he could just take a man's gun in that kind of situation. Man. And so that initiated that, all hell breaks loose. And in many times, because these, you know, Europeans, they, Caucasians, they are the most violent prone people on the planet. All they need is an excuse. All they need is a spark. And it's on. Sometimes they just create a spark, because they want to fight. They want to kill. They want to maim. They want to murder. Look at the Rittenhouser case. Look at the vigilanteism that's happening in Georgia and in Wisconsin. Look at these two cases. There's probably, to some people's mind, based upon what the judge has done and how he admonished the prosecution, and the same thing happened yesterday, from my understanding. He didn't admonish them. He didn't, you know, jump in their case with something that was done or said that supposedly should not have been done or said. I don't know what the particulars are. I'm not really following it that well. I mean, I'll watch Nightline to get a little synopsis of what's happening. You know, I've seen dude crying, fake crying, and going into a panic attack, you know. You know, I don't know if he was trained by the defendants to, you know, gain sympathy. But there's probably no doubt that very many people are very sympathetic. And because, you know, they've always, you know, favored vigilanteism, especially as it relates to us, you know. So he's not an EMT. Said he was an EMT. He's going down there to help protect property. His mother gets him the gun. She's in the courtroom crying. Hell, her ass did it. She got him the gun, supposedly, and drove his ass down there. And he's walking around, and based upon that testimony, what I heard on that he had this gun strapped to him. So, you know, it just ain't going to fall off his person. It's tied to him. It's strapped to him. And the Caucasian touched the barrel of his gun, and he shot him. He shot him once in the chest, and he failed, and shot him three more times. You know, and that's not surprising if you were law enforcement, because that's what they do now. They shoot to kill. They don't shoot to maim or injure or shoot the gun out your hand or shoot you in the knee. No, they shoot to kill. And so that's what he was doing. He was shooting to kill. So it remains to be seen. It remains to be seen what's going to happen with the Ahmaud Arbery trial. I think that trial has a better chance of convicting those three. But we'll see. You know? I mean, to me, the stall tactics is ridiculous. They can and should demand that the January 6th situation happen. It's coming up a whole damn year. And they can't get many of the key individuals. What happened with ugly-ass Bannon? His ass should be in jail now. They said he was contempt of court. His ass is still out and about doing whatever the hell he wants to do. There's always and always will be a tiered justice system or injustice system, whatever how you want to phrase it, in this country. It always will be. So it remains to be seen what happens. Because this ass should already be in prison. They should already be convicting these folks. How about a speedy trial? Especially for something like this. And the consistent Trump tactic of stall. They're letting him do it again. I don't know if the DOJ is allowing it to happen. Whoever is allowing, they're letting him do it again. Man. Okay, I know they said that that he couldn't suppress all the information that he has on about January 6th, and it has to be released, but he still has it. It has not been released. It's supposed to have been yesterday, or today, and it hasn't happened. We did a program, a couple of weeks ago, right before I left to go to Milwaukee, on these three trials, and what could possibly happen. We'll see. Yeah, I went to Milwaukee for my good friend and good brother, Brother Shango Bamey. Yeah. In the celebration of his life. You know, me and his older brother, Rick Johnson, were good friends. I don't know why. Because I know Shango's older than me. He's two older than me. You know, but I hung around with Rick. We played football together, and you know, yeah. And Shango had seven children. We loved him dearly, and many, many more because of the work that he did in the community, dealing with restorative justice, all the things that he helped create, you know, the camp, you know, all kinds of good stuff. Camp TJ Peace. Yeah, working at some of the first getting folks jobs, got many people a job. Yeah. So, and he, I mean, he was an activist from, you know, just like me, almost from day one, you fall into it. And, you know, the young adult, he was heavily influenced by his membership in the Blackstone Rangers and the Black Panther Party. He often told stories of how he expected the Black Panthers to give him a gun to go to war. Instead, they gave him a book. It was during this time that his activism became his core to his identity, and he immersed himself into the movement, into our movement. He connected deeply with the fundamental tenets the Black Panther Party. And I remember he worked over in that area that where they had, or at St. Boniface Church, where they had the food program and food, feeding kids, the Black Panther food program, feeding them breakfast and so forth. Man, I tell you, we did some great things. And Brother Sean Go, Brother Ron Johnson was all up in that. You'd be tremendously missed. I did a libation for his homegoing. You know, I see some pictures here with Brother Michael McGee. Some of you may be familiar with Michael McGee, who was on the Phil Donahue show and bust that neo-Nazi upside the head, disrespecting our women. Brother Mike McGee, who was a city alderman, and later his son was a city alderman, and they drastically and ridiculously and radically redistrict his district, man, to get rid of him, you know. But they started the warning league, warning, we must respect each other, basketball league, which still is in existence today after almost 50 years. Man, beautiful family. In fact, if there is a family that I was connected with, it was this family, the Johnson family, the Rick and Shango and Keith and all of them. Their sisters, you know, Connie, Judy, Cindy, and Gloria, and their mom, Maddie, and their father, JB. Just a beautiful family. Beautiful people. Yeah. So my good friend, Teju Malone Oloboni, he's been on this program a few times. He's a storyteller. He's the great prevaricator. Yeah, he's one of the master storytellers. He's really a multidisciplinarian. He is multi-genius, and I really mean that. Brother Teju, he can do it all. He can do it all, man. Teju is fantastic. And so he told a story. He told a story about a brother who played basketball. You know, he wasn't a frontline player. He played. He got in the game periodically and, you know, did his thing a little bit. And his father, who was blind, and father used to tell him, "Hey, son, tell me how you played today. Tell me everything. Give me details so I can try to visualize it. Tell me exactly all the things you did." Well, unfortunately, his father passed. And when his father passed, the coach thought that he probably wouldn't want to play. And so he said, "Well, you can get off today's game." He said, No, coach. I want to play today. I want to play really bad. Please, coach, let me play today." And the coach relented. He said, "Okay. I'll even start you." He played. And he had one heck of a game. He had 30 points. He had 15 rebounds and 12 assists. He had the game, the best game he had. And the coach said, "Man, you had a really great game. You know, tell me." He said, "You know, coach, today was the first time that my father seen me play. It was the first time that my father seen me play." Man, looking down from heaven. And the second part to that story is that me and Rick were going to go see his grandson, Avon Johnson, who's one of the top players in the state of Mississippi out of Jacksonville, and who has been offered a free ride to Jackson State. And Sean Go was going to go with us, you know, and I was bringing my grandson to the game. And so when Sean Go passed, you know, we're going to go to the game. And that Friday, the day before the service, this past Friday, last week Friday, Avon had a game, and he dedicated the game to his granduncle, Shango. He was killing. He had 50 points, 52 points. He sent his grandfather, Rick, the line. He had 52 points. He was killing. Yeah. So me and my grandson, we went to the game, and wow, it was at his high school, and it was a little small gym, you know, It wasn't, because like a lot of these schools, like especially here, you know, some of the, like when my grandson, oldest one, plays at Campbell, that place is like a field house, you know, big gyms, Pebble Brook, where my young grandson, well, he goes to the middle school. They have a small gym, but in fact, they don't even have a gym that has bleachers. It's just a gym. But at Pebble Brook, the high school, nice size gym. And in fact, they're going to build a new one, and along with the other places. So, yeah, what a game. Went into overtime. I mean, they were going back and forth. I mean, many lead changes. And, man, I will say this, though. Down the stretch, they made a lot of mistakes. They turned the ball over a few times. Both teams. Free throws missed. But Avon hit the free. He had four straight free throws. He hit the two free throws that tied the game up. In fact, he was 14 out of 18 from the free throw line, I believe, something to that effect. Might have been more. He had 32 points and 17 rebounds. Yeah, he's a D1 player, no doubt about it. And they pulled it out in overtime. Yeah, glad I went. I know my grandson's glad he went. Also, this past weekend, I went to the high school, although I didn't graduate from high school. I dropped out because they weren't going to let me graduate unless I made up some time, you know. So I was like, bump that. So I dropped out. But the guys who I played with and I went to school with, many of them, a couple of them were inducted to the Rufus King High School. Rufus King was a general. That's why they call the team the generals in the Civil War. He was a general, of course, for the Union Army. He was a general, and he died here, Northern Wisconsin, and a couple of guys I truly were there to support. But one was Dane Matthews. I don't remember him come out of school because he graduated in 1963. But I remember playing against him on the playground. Even though he was only like 6'1", 6'2", he was a beast, man. He was a monster. He was a tough cat. And then there was Calvin Mallory, who graduated in 65 before I got there. But I remember this one brother, Gerard Fisher, and didn't know that he was the leading scorer in the conference and for the team. And boy, that cat could dribble down low. Gerard Fisher, cat-like quickness. And a real contemporary is a brother who graduated in 70, a year before me, or my graduating class, and that was Curtis Davis. In fact, he lives here in the Atlanta area. We were at this park called Welcome All Park, and we were talking about how cold it can get and so forth. Where are you from? You from Milwaukee? I'm from man, Curtis Davis. Yeah,
Wow. Looks good. And one of the brothers, too, who graduated after me in 1972, he's dealing with cancer. He was also inducted, and he wants to be there to be inducted into the Hall of Fame next year physically, and I pray that he has that opportunity. I pray that he has that opportunity. And another brother who I saw at the funeral is Raymond Nixon, Ray Nixon. And he was outstanding in basketball and football. And there's a few others down there that Michael Connors, who was on the Rufus King championship teams, and Shirley Hughes, beautiful sister. And, yep. And let me see who else is. Oh, yeah, Brother Demetrius Beekman, another brother who's. And the coach, the Caucasian, who was after Jim Gordon. Jim Gordon led the team to a championship, but Jim Giles led him to many championships. Jim Giles and his father, was a great high school coach as well at Whitefish Bay Dominican High School. And Jim Giles was one of the winningest coaches at Rufus King with a record of 526 victories and only 106 losses. Most wins in the city conference, 800. So actually, 800 percentage, 606 wins and only 145 losses. 7 all-time Wisconsin Boy wins. Yep, state champion, 13 state tournament appearances, and 7 final appearances in state championships, 4 times. 4 times, back-to-back in 2003 and 2004. 26 years of coaching, yep, Jim Giles. So when he saw me, he said, "Hey, how you been? You're not still a firefighter, are you?" "No, coach, no, I'm not." But I like the fact that they have a picture of the team. They call the original Dream Team of Max Walker, who I saw on Sunday that day, too. I love Max Walker. Love him. Good man. But all those guys were on that team. I might have been on that team, but I quit. Yeah, Bruce Stewart, Mike Goodwin, Zeddy Rochelle, all these good gentlemen. Ray Nixon was on that team that went upstate. And we played Janesville is right outside Madison, Janesville Parker. Man, in that game, in that championship game, they shot 60% from the floor and 23 out of 23 from the free throw line. Yeah, you're right. It's hard to win when you're up against something like that. And also, too, you know, the history of refereeing. It is what it is, brothers and sisters. It is. And I'm quite sure if you're listening, you can talk about your state or your city, because it's part and partial what has happened. So we're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, I want to, I talked about the financial situation in college. And I have a little update or some more information as it relates to that I want to throw at you. But also, too, I want you to give me a call. Join in on this conversation. It's an open mic Friday. You know, I'm glad to be back. I've been gone a while. I'm truly glad to be back. So give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. Hope you stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Just sit down and relax a minute. Let me tell you about it. west side. I'm even going across the bridge, oh, cause I hear they really get down over there.
Listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And the OJ's Living for the Weekend and Johnny Gill Just Got Paid. That's some Friday songs for you right there, ain't it? Love them. All right, other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays. Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kambon and Ataki Kambon from 8 to 9. And then from 9 to 10 on the first and third Mondays, Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays, every Tuesday from 8 p.m. to 10, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. On Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report from 8 to 9 on Wednesdays. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Fridays. On Saturdays from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council from 7 to 9 on Saturdays. And then on Sunday at 7 p.m. until Time for an Awakening once again with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. Yeah. Give me a call if you want to get in on conversation. It's at 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. 267, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Brother Oshie. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing fine, Ralph. I appreciate the call, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, but I'm a little irked, Brother Oshie, and I got to be honest about it. And I'm talking about the state, the Black Talk Radio. It could be a great fool to warn our people or to awaken our people. But it seems like, you know, I when I cut the radio on this morning to listen to the local station, the main thing was they were talking about Donald Trump. Now, you know, and it's like Donald Trump is not our only problem. He exposed a much larger problem that the majority of his followers are racist. I mean, he exposed that. All well and good. But the thing about it, we're still asleep at the wheel. Now, you have this racist, nasty, vicious administration in here right now mandating a so-called substance that isn't working. And our brothers and sisters they're trapped between a rock and a hard place. I talked to them. One sister just broke down and took the J&J. Now they're telling her she got to take one every 2 months. It's just the J&J. I mean, you know, we are under attack right now, brother. And, you know, I hear conversations about reparations. If you think this devil in the White House right now is thinking about reparations with the so-called George Floyd bill sitting on his desk collecting dust and everything else, you know, I mean, we got to wake up, man. We got to stop drinking the Kool-Aid and start realizing that these people aren't. And another thing, if we can't call this administration, because, see, I'm a nonpartisan, and I thank God for my wife. She's seen me of my non-allegiance to either one of these demonic parties. Mm-hmm. Well, she just turned nonpartisan because she says she can't do it no more because this administration finally woke her up. Now, anytime you have Buttigieg, who's in charge of the transportation of this country,
right,
is nowhere to be found while the supply shelves are empty because him and his husband are on maternity leave.
Right.
If you can't see the wickedness and the vile, disgusting stuff that our children are being bombarded with, then we got to wake up, man. We got to let them know. Like, neither one of these parties mean you any good. If they're going to do something for you, let them come to your vote. Just don't vote blindly. Yeah, Trump is an asshole. We know that. He let you know that. But what about this puppet in the White House right now that's carrying on a much sinister agenda? And I'm going to say this. This so-called pandemic, you know, this so-called pandemic where you got these sports stadiums filled and everything like that. Pfizer, the CEO of Pfizer just got mad at the Biden administration when they pushed the mandate back to January 4th. You know what his response was? Oh, the pandemic is supposed to be over on that date. So here we are talking about science, but they got a particular date when this pandemic is going to be over, man. See, our people got to wake up, and they got to smell the Kool-Aid. I mean, there's no all that other fairy tale talk that we talk on here, man. That's great if it worked, but nobody's even buying into it. Right now, our children are under assault. They're stabbing them in the arm with this garbage. When children have a God-given immune system to fight off damn near anything. So, you know, I'm just so disgusted with Black Talk Radio. I am just disgusted with it because we are talking all the BS to keep us in the slumber when we need to recognize our children are under attack.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, I just had to get that off my chest, brother.
Well, I appreciate all of it.
I can't even listen to WOL no more. That program on there is complete garbage. I heard Cobby Kameni, Booker T. Coleman talking about the African cosmos. What the fuck? Excuse my language. What that has to do with anything? You know what I mean? We are under attack, brother.
Yeah.
And I
that's a reality.
And get that. Yeah, that's reality.
That's a reality. It is.
So I had to get that off my chest because I can't even support our local station is so far behind the eight ball. You know, if you listen to them, you swear the Democratic Party is our only hope.
I hear you.
You know,
when I was in Milwaukee, and the same thing here in Atlanta, on WAOK, and the same thing in Milwaukee.
Ralph Wall's fire.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is, Jay. And the same thing in Milwaukee. These stations have been co-opted by the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party are big donors to these stations. Big donors. In fact, one guy got on the radio. He became a announcer because of the Democratic Party, his allegiance to the Democratic Party. And they paid for him to be on there until the station finally gave him a position because of the amount of money he was able to get, not just from the Democratic Party, but through advertisers as well for his radio, particular radio program. But yeah. What's up, Jay? How you doing?
All right. I'm going to go on mute, brother.
All right. Just stay on mute, man, and come in anytime you want. Okay, Ralph? All right, brother. Yeah. How you doing?
Hey, Oshi.
Yeah, Jay.
Ralph on fire, I see. Why he run away? Because Jay got on the line. Come back on, Ralph. Don't run when Jay get here. Because you know I'm going to tell the truth.
Well, he's telling the truth as well. You know, y'all both truth seekers. I appreciate the call. You know?
Carl Nelson done been basically put in check by the daddy.
Oh, is that right?
That he can't have one controversial guest against the vaccine.
Is that right?
And he just going, oh, yeah. He hasn't had nobody on.
Didn't he have a Lima?
That's me.
He
didn't let me finish, yo.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
I said, he hasn't had anybody on lately.
Okay.
Who has talked against the vaccine. It's been like maybe 3 or 4 weeks.
Okay.
But he'll have on Grandpa Syndrome, Jeffries, and the rest of them. Booker T, which I don't even tune in no more. I think one time this week I listened to the show, and I basically would listen every day. But it's just become a horrible display, like Ralph said, of a Democratic, you know, hole, you know, a fanboy society.
Yeah.
To where they just come on and talk that sugar, honey, iced tea, trying to push an agenda that ain't even going to help black people. Really, truly, when it's all said and done.
Right.
But I tell you, I do have to give somebody in black media credit for doing what they have to do to get paid. Roly-Poly Martin. Oh, man. Roly-Poly Martin, man, is putting himself in a position to be the independent black voice of America and to get paid.
Mm.
And I mean get paid. He's going to be the black version within the next couple of years of CNN. Listen to me when I tell you. He's in the process of creating a situation that is going to be able to compete as far as black voices go with the MSNBC, the CNN, and the rest of them, man. And I got to take my hat off because he's pimping black folks righteously.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He's making it seem as though he's really the voice
right.
of America, black
right.
folks.
Right.
But all he is a damn shield and a tool for the Democratic Party.
Right.
I mean, it's really disgusting. And, you know, he always makes it seem as though, well, what are you going to get if the psychopath, narcissist Trump get back in office? But what he never really, really talk about is the whiteness of America. And listen, I don't get mad at white people for what they do. You know, if the truth be told, they're supposed to do it.
Well, this is theirs.
I get mad at black people because we don't do the necessary things to get the sovereignty that we deserve as an African people and to move forward without these spaces controlled by the Yoruba.
Well,
you can live separately from this Yoruba on a certain level in this country and flourish. You don't have to be beckoning and calling this no good saltine. You can create institutions and create things for yourself as the people.
Others have done it.
Have that mindset.
Yeah, others have done it.
Our mindset is whiteness.
Yeah, others.
That's our mindset. Our mindset is total whiteness.
Yeah. Just like, what's that, Dr. Fox, addicted to white. We are addicted to a white. We want very much to be close to them. We want to be like them. We want to have curry favor with them. You know, we don't want to challenge them. We believe in what they believe. We try to do what they do. You know, yes.
Everything the white man got,
we
want.
We are addicted. We are
Everything
addicted.
Everything the white man got, we want.
Exactly.
We want to be a part of whiteness to the point to where we don't even really have or trying to put forward a true African identity. And nobody wants to be honest about it and just say it is what it is.
This is true. You know? It's a sad, it's a fact. It's a sad reality, but it is true. You know, we have been so inculcated, that we don't understand how important it is for us to be who we are. But we've been trained. See, I think one of the things, Jay and listeners, is that we don't understand the training of over 400 years that we have, even though that we have been constantly rejected, but yet we're still trained to believe that what they have is better. What they have is...
Well, they got you on remote control.
Yeah.
The white man got you on remote control. Don't fool yourself into thinking otherwise. You, as one would say, a Negro, you on remote control.
Yeah.
And you gonna stay on remote control because you love the saltine. You don't love blackness. You don't love your Africanness. I saw where, you know, Boca died yesterday in South Africa, and you had Negroes crying over that over that mofo. That's the type of Stockholm sick shit.
Yeah.
That we.
I don't know who did that, but I know that. I don't know who might have done that. It's as foolish as that is, but I'm quite sure there were people in South Africa because he ended apartheid. He let Nelson Mandela go. So all of that symbolism, the belief that this was a good Caucasian. And so then when he died, what was it, about 80, 90 years old, whatever the hell he was, you know, I could give less than a rat's ass about him, you know, and in fact, I could care less. But many people, particularly of our people, particularly in South Africa, had some hard feelings about his death because of his ending apartheid as they knew it. Did not really end the apartheid, let's be real. It still exists. There's still places in South Africa where Caucasians, there are areas in South Africa where Caucasians control that area and will not let African people in. They have created a security force for that area. They have sovereignty. They have sovereignty in that area.
Yep.
You know?
Brother, I know. I mean, I don't understand why the no good devil did his own personal, burning necktie a long time ago. They were supposed to pick him up and give him the burning necktie as quick as they could do it. You know what I mean? But, I mean, we not about sovereignty, bro. I'm sorry to say it.
No, we're not, but it is.
We're not about sovereignty. We're about trying to figure out how to get closer to this devil. How to show him the respect that we think he deserves, and to just go on and be what we are, which are the other punks of the planet. That's all.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry to say it, but that's all we are, the punks of the planet.
Well, you know, that's a harsh statement, Jay, but when you look at and analyze.
Can you tell me where I'm wrong about it?
Well, no,
Can you tell me where I'm wrong about it?
Let me say this to you.
Everybody mistreat us, abuse us, rape us, do everything that they want to do to us, and we just say, the Sky Daddy, he'll make it better. When has the Sky Daddy ever saved the black man from being lynched?
The bottom line is that we have trusted all those who are outside of us. We have never trusted ourselves. We have never trusted each other. We are trained to think individually. We are trained and alienated from ourselves. Our whole path to our salvation is being collective, is being unified, is speaking as one. Our whole path is sovereignty, separation from this madness.
But, I know Ralph is smiling right now when he heard you say your infamous word, unify or die.
Yeah.
I see that smile on your face, Ralph. I see the smile on your face.
Well, that's a fact.
Unify or die. You just made Ralph day.
Yeah, that's a fact. It's Pan-Africanism.
Absolutely. Ralph is smiling right now. Come back on the line, Ralph, and let us see that smile.
It's Pan-Africanism or perish, unify or die. There's a few and others that were on the queue. If you want to join this if you want to join this conversation, hit star twice, or give us a call
Ralph,
at 21.
Hit star twice. Unify or die. The infamous word of Oshi. Unify or die. Now all I do is just ask this follow-up question. We're black folks unifying and dying.
Yeah, I hear
they need someplace where they unify and die other than unifying and dying, killing themselves. Where they unify dying and killing some saltines.
Well, let me say this. I think that, let me just say this, Jay. As long as we understand it, we can work towards it. We got a call from Kansas City. We got... see here. I'm trying to pull that up, and that is name out the way. 913. Good afternoon. 913. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, brother. Can you hear me?
I sure can. Go ahead.
Sure. I often think about things that we should do as opposed to what we're doing, you know. And we could change this situation certainly put it on the right path in 10 or so years, you know. But we got a lot of fear. You know, one of the biggest factors that we have is fear as men.
Yes.
I'm not talking about anybody. I'm talking about black men. We're scared.
Yeah.
You know, when I say we, I have to regrettably put myself in that. I'm not trying to be above anyone. I'm saying as a group, though, we are literally scared to be men. And that is our primary problem. If we, you know, I have Indian ancestry as well. And the Cherokee, and I got this from my great-grandfather, he said that, you know, that they raised a whole segment of the male population to be warriors, and that's what they were. Their glory was in being able to defend their nation, their people, their mothers, their fathers, their progeny, those who were to come behind them. And they gloried in dying what they call a righteous death.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We got people who are literally, I mean, it's like we got women who want to be men, and we got men who've been raised to think like women. So, and really, they say they love God, but they don't even have a construct of God. And I don't mean the spooky sky man God. I'm talking about the God within us, because that's the only God we can prove that exists. The one that gets me up in the morning. It ain't nobody, no hand to reach out of the sky and get me. I wake my damn self up,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I go do what I need to do. And so we've got these I don't even know what to call them, man, other than mental illnesses. White folks, even if we just use them as an example of certain things, not of everything,
mm-hmm.
they're willing to die for the silliest thing. You know, I mean, they'll get in a car and drive around the Indianapolis 500 at 210 miles and smash into a wall and get a reward. You know, they'll get a commendation on the wall, you know. And these folks are killing our future, and we do nothing really about it. Look at Elon Musk. I mean, you know, I've always been a person who's been into science, you know. And I look at how white folks even view their existence. They know they have no future here on this planet, being outnumbered. And since black folks are waking up, or enough, as I'll say, a few of us are waking up and being woken up, we just like Jay was saying, we're just trying to be a part of the party, you know. And it's sad that we will give our lives something we can never get back. Give our lives for something that has no value at all. You know, my dad was in the military. He said that was the worst mistake he ever made in his life, is not killing everybody that was in his unit before he left. He was in Vietnam. He said one of the worst things he ever did, and he regretted it. He said, I should have just lined them up and killed them all. Now, see, this is, and I'm not trying to elevate anybody above another, but this is what men are designed to do. If we got to give our lives for our family, that is a noble life.
Well, understand this. We
want to have 20-inch rims. We want to have 20-inch rims on our cars that we don't make. And we don't make the rims, and we don't make the tires. We don't get the gas. We just glory in being happy darkies.
Yeah. Well, understand this. Understand this is that, once again, we live in America. America's about individualism. Individualism, materialism, greed, and violence. And so we fall prey to that. And as a consequence, we are African people. We are a collective people. We have never been about individualism. But because of our situation here, and obviously an individual thinks highly of him or herself. And they think only of him and herself. And so therefore, they like that concept. They like that idea of, I'm getting mine. And I don't care if you don't get yours. In fact, if you didn't get yours, it's your fault because it's there to get. That's the mentality. And as a consequence, it is detrimental to us as African people, because that is not our way. I've been reading from the Inye Sesim, the Daily Revolutionary Thoughts on Warriorhood. In fact, if you are a follower of Baba Baruti, you, particularly on Facebook, that's the only thing he's been putting out, is information on Warriorhood, because I think this is the time of the veterans. This is Veterans Day, and people are putting information about their parents and foreparents who were veterans and the wars they fought in and so forth. But they fought for white folks. They fought for this damn country. They didn't fight for themselves, and then they got dogged out when they came back home. They ain't no damn glory into that shit.
You know what they should have done, and hindsight is always 20/20. But the black soldiers that were there should have literally just left the land of Vietnam littered with those white folks. That would have been the best, that would have been one of the best things they could have done as soldiers.
Yeah.
They should have really got the enemy. The Vietnamese were not their enemy. They were fighting to protect that land. That's what you go try to get in a bird's nest and see what it'll do. You think it's going to fly away? It's going to try to pluck your eyes
right.
out.
That's right. That's right.
Die to do it. It'll do it.
Let me
vote.
Just hold on and let me get another call in. Brother Ralph, are you there? Brother Ralph, are you there?
I'm listening, Brother Oshie, driving, but I'm listening.
Oh, okay then. All right. If you
hey, have Ralph. A, if you Ralph. Have... Ralph.
Yeah, hey, what's up, Jack?
Are you ready to unify or die?
I've been ready for that. It's just that we ain't doing it.
So, thank you, brother. Because the reality is this. When you're ready to unify or die, then you go die. Because the bottom line is, we at the stage to where all we can do is die because of the conditions and the oppressor that we up against. But we really don't want to unify or die, because we don't want to leave this earth. Because the bottom line is, in order to become successful as a people, there has to be the sacrifice of death to place us in the position to govern ourselves. And the white man done took that away from us.
Well, Brother Coach Sheath, the other caller, brother from Kansas City, mentioned the fear factor that has been instilled in us from the very beginning. Now, understand something. It's very dichotomous, because in certain things, we're not fearful. You know, we're brave. But as it relates to dealing with this Caucasian, it relates to dealing with this this society, we're very fearful. We've been trained to be. You know?
There you go. There you go. You know? We've been trained.
We've been trained to be. And so we respond to that, you know? And so to me, if we were trained to be that, then we need to be trained not to be that. And that requires
and that's what
for
Bobby
us.
Do every day.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's what the NSA system is.
Exactly. That's when
exactly what the NSA system is, trying to correct our behavior.
Exactly.
And not have this fear of this sortie.
Exactly.
And realizing and seeing them for the real punk that he is. Because let's be very clear. The white man is a punk, if you ever noticed. He's not the type that'll ever go man to man with you.
No.
He'll always have to come in groups. That's what lynching and all of those things was about. The psychological fear of having you afraid to deal.
Jay, you've heard me say this, that one thing that the Caucasian has done, always found a better way to kill your ass. That's what he has done. He's always found a better way.
Nobody better.
Nobody. In terms of development
Nobody
of weaponry,
better than the white man.
That, you know, Nobody. That's what helped facilitate his rise to dominance in the world is superior weaponry. Even more so because he's not the one that dealt with map making. Other cultures had that before he did. He's not the one that dealt with ship making. Other cultures had that before he did. But one thing that he did is that he developed the superior weaponry from a rock and a stick and a club and a spear and a sword and this knife and a bazooka, a catapult.
Whatever.
All of it, whatever.
The bomb. He's
yes.
The only person that
Always.
Dropped the bomb
yes.
on another people.
Yes,
that
an atomic bomb.
What he about.
An atomic bomb. And now he has other kinds of bombs that you can bomb a place and the structure will stand, will still be there, and all the human beings will be dead. You know, he's always found a better way to kill your ass. And that's how he is. That's what he is. No, he's not a fair fighter. Hell no. No, he can't measure up man to man. No, that's not who he is. He's devious. He's conniving. He's undermining. You know, but yet he's tricked us into believing that we should be like him and we should want what he has. We should want to live how he lives and live where he lives, as opposed to being on our own. You know?
If I can say, his biggest trick was to make us think that he is like us. That he is a human being. He's not a human being. All of the annals of history since the 6,000-year history of this white man on this planet have shown that everyone he has encountered, their first impression of them is that they are not human beings. They are in the form of a human, but they are not human beings. They do not have the sentiment of a human being. When they say homo sapiens sapien, they're talking about the black man. When they talk about Elijah Muhammad, I mean, people can say what they want about what he thought. But that is a grafted man, and it can be proven because we can do it with all mammalian life. You can graft them with anything. They even creatures now that scientists are putting together that are not existing in the natural world, but they are here. So when we think that these people are going to have the same sympathy or the empathy or even the just normal concern of a human being, I saw a brother this morning. I mean, I know he, who knows what his life was like, but he was hungry. And I had five extra dollars, and I gave it to him. And I don't consider that an unusual thing, except that we are not accustomed to people giving us what we need when we're down and out. They'll spit on your shoes, you know, until you go get a job, just like the white man will. But this is the thing, and I'm going to end with this because I can tell you're going to have a hearty discussion. But it really seems to me that our biggest enemy is us. And people may not put that in the right block. Real briefly, I'm going to tell you what I mean by that. Until we are willing to die for what we want, we ought to just keep our damn mouths shut. Bend over and take or be a man. I mean, it has really come to that.
Yeah.
You know, if I got a choice between protecting my family, I will run to my death Yeah. I don't care about the dying part.
Yeah, I agree.
I care about the progeny, the fact that they will learn to live or be able to live because of what, and it's not a sacrifice, because you see it all throughout the
Bible. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
The whole animal kingdom, they will die when you attack their children.
Yeah.
They don't care how big you are. They don't care how many guns you got. A bird will go at a farmer with a shotgun and try to pluck his damn eyes out if it's the last thing he does.
Yeah.
He may be successful, he may not, but he will not retreat. And
but see,
until we develop the natural part that nature gives us, that you die for your progeny, then we just ought to shut up.
And see, but we have trusted this Caucasian. We have trusted him. We have turned our children over to him in his educational system. We believe in his medical system. We have turned our children over to it, and our children become disabled, mentally and physically disabled. We have done so much because we've been trained to believe in them. Let me get this caller in. 469. 469. Good afternoon.
Hey, Brother Oshie, how you doing today?
I'm doing well, Kevin. How are you? How you been, man?
Man, I've been doing great. I've been kind of off the scene, rethinking some things, but a great conversation like always. You know, our problem is that we really don't know who we are.
No, we don't know who we are, historically and culturally.
We've been robbed of our knowledge. We've been given things that doesn't make sense, this religion and so forth, that people have a hard time coming to reality to think that someone is coming back from the dead and people are born without any interaction between man and woman. That's just fairy tale stuff. And we have to get that out of our system. But we just don't know ourselves. And we're afraid to challenge those things that we've been taught that we hold as near and dear. You know, I always tell people this, and then I'm going to let you go, because I know there's many people who want to get in, and I just want to hear other people's opinion. But I tell people this, you know, people eat chitlins and so forth, and I did too. I don't know. I'm vegan. But I have to remind people, they did that not because they really loved it, but they either did that or died. Now we're in a position to where that's not necessarily, you don't necessarily have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But we still
mm-hmm.
hold on
yeah.
to those things and
right.
we'll fight and argue and
right.
tell people, well, you know, if you pray over it, it's good. So that's what I'm saying.
Mm.
You know, we just have to look at ourselves and be honest with ourselves and look at what is real and what is things that have been imposed on us to keep us in a subjugated position.
Yeah.
So
the solution is, the solution, brother, is to pray on it, ask the Sky Daddy to make it palatable for you to take it down. I mean, come on, man. I understand exactly what you're saying, man.
Yeah.
I mean,
uh-huh.
you know, whenever I hear somebody talk about give it to the Lord, the first thing that comes to my mind is, could you turn around so I can kick you in the ass? That's the first thing that comes to my mind, because it just don't make no sense. I mean, we've been here over 600 years almost, and our solution, for some reason, because they taught us that way, is to give it to the Lord. The Lord will make a way. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Stop.
Yeah, it is. You know, it's like the ham shank story. The girl asked her mother, why did her mother cut off the end of the ham shank? She said, I don't know. Go and ask your grandmother. She asked grandmother. They asked your great-grandmother. She asked great-grandmother, and she said, well, the pan wasn't large enough, so we had to cut it off. And we're hanging on to those same things. So, you know, we have to get – and the solution is that I think that each one of us have to look and see what it is that we need to do. You know, I always have this conversation now, and I say, I don't look outside of myself. Sure, you can't do it by yourself, but you have to make yourself worthy so that you're in a position where you can work with other people. So I look at those things that I need to improve in myself and my flaws, and I wrestle and struggle with those things, but I don't worry about what the next person is or is not doing. If they're in a situation of doing things that I don't agree with, then I put them on the side. And then, because there's other people out there who you will be able to work with and think along the same lines. But let me get off.
All right. Yeah, appreciate you, brother. All right.
And continue. And you all stay strong there, brother.
Right.
And we'll be talking again.
Right on. Have a great weekend. Yeah.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. I mean, let's be real, family. You know, unfortunately, we live in an environment that has never valued us. But yet we keep holding on and praying and wishing that somehow that this whole thing will flip and will, and our humanity will be accepted, and we'll be accepted to live where we want to live and go to the schools we want to go to, and prejudice and bigotry and racism and mean spirit and all that shit that these Caucasians are about will somehow go away, that we have worked a miracle and changed the behavior of these evil people to accept our humanity, and now we can all live and love freely. That is not going to happen. It hasn't happened. It's not happening. And it sure the hell ain't going to happen.
Well, you want the white man to treat you nice. That's all. You want him to love you. That's what it is. That's what our biggest, to me, in a lot of ways, want is just for the white man to love us. Just for the white man not to beat us. That's all. That's the truth of the matter. We just don't want to be beat by the white man no more. We want to be loved by him. We want to be accepted, you know? That's why Negroes work so hard to appease his ass at every chance that they get. That's why they always got to have him, well, he's my best friend. He's my guide. He's my protector. He the one who gave me the opportunity, the chance. Get the F out of here.
And see, that's why some of us still feel that it's important that we have Caucasians in our organizations, that we have Caucasians in doing things that we need for ourselves, to have them involved, not understanding that they are the number one problem. They are the prohibitors of our success. They are the one, just like Muhammad Ali said, you're my opposer when I want freedom. You're more my opposer when I want justice. It is you. You're the problem. The deep root of the problem, I know that some of us will say that we are our own worst enemy. Of course, I've argued many times against that. I understand what people say that. But the bottom line is the crux of the problem that happened for African people is Europeans, is Caucasians, is white people, and their mentality and their hatred of us. You know, that is never going to change. It only changes.
But the thing that's so crazy is, this is what the craziness is. Why do they spend so much time hating us and we spend so much time loving them? That's the madness of it.
It is. What a dichotomy. What insanity.
Why would I hate you so much? Why should I hate you so much with the fact of the matter is that I never show you that type of hatred. I'm always showing you unabashed love. I'm always showing you that I have a commitment to your upliftment and to your development and your growth. Don't give a damn about mine or my people.
Well, you know, the bottom line, Jay, is say that they hate us because they ain't us. They realize we are the first people on the planet. They realize that they are dwindling. Their numbers have been dwindling for decades. They are experiencing negative population growth. You know, they are the ones that have pretty much destroyed this planet. They are the ones that are the crux of the problem for many other people. You know, think about the indigenous people of this land. Think about what they've done to them. Think about other people. You know, they're selfish and greedy. They don't want to share. You know, they're undermining other people. You know, they have been a scourge and a cancer on this planet. You know, I, for one, am not about trying to fight Caucasians. I will fight them once if they move against my people and challenge them. I understand that. But I, for one, am down with us as a people coming together, closing ranks, pulling our resources, doing for ourselves,
establishing the unity that we need, unify or die, establishing the unity that we need to propel ourselves and our people forward, and to say that this is ours. The continent of Africa is ours. Chinese, get your ass out. Asians, get your ass out. Arabs, get your ass out. Indians, all of y'all, get the hell out. Close it down. Educate ourselves. Control the resources. Control the land. We could feed ourselves. You know, develop a new paradigm for us to, as African people, to once again to be the people who show the world the way of a better life, a better living. Damn this individualism. Damn this materialism. No. We're talking about living in accordance of a good life that is good for all humanity, but is example, but is exemplified within us. It can be done.
Let me give an example.
Go ahead.
It certainly can be done. Let me give an example of something I see quite often. You know, riding around, I go back and forth between, you know, Canada and the U.S. and Mexico and wherever I need to go. And I see places where black folks got empty lots. Just sitting there. There's no reason that there couldn't be some people that go and cultivate those lots like land is supposed to be done and grow our own food. Something as simple as that would have a profound effect on us. But we look for the big, like Jay said, the sky daddy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We don't realize we are the sky daddy. If there's one that exists. Hold on. I want to finish this point because it's an essential point. You know, if you don't grow your own food, I don't care what else you got.
That's right.
You are a captive.
That's right.
Name one object in nature that does not cultivate its own nourishment. There's not one that exists, an ant, an amoeba, an eagle, an elephant. They go and get their own food. And until we realize that is step number one or two, to actually claiming what we say we want, if we don't take care of what goes in our bodies, it's going to manifest in our thinking. And there is the problem. There is the problem. There's no two ways about it. If you want to domesticate an animal, the first thing you do is control its food.
That's right. That's right.
They've done that.
Let me say, I agree with you 100%, but check this out. And you know this probably better than most. The same thing that you said that we should do, the nature and the evilness of the white man, he restricts you from doing it. Think about that. He will restrict you, and he's done it because I've seen it here in New York and I've seen it in other places. Where when you come together collectively and take over a lot.
Collectively, that's the key word.
Build your own and build and grow your own food and do things of that nature, they'll cut you off at the heel. I've seen it done so many times. It's just like, I'll give you a quick example. When they talk about black on black crime, and the basically destruction of the community through violence and things of that nature. I remember, I think, back in the 90s, or it could have been the 80s. It was the 90s, I think.
Got to be quick, Jay. Got to be quick, Jay. I got to go.
Yeah, okay. I wanted to get something in, too.
Got
to
be cool. Okay.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Ralph.
No, that brother said something very profound. He said an amoeba and get the proper nutrients it needs without any outside help. So what that brother just said, man, it hit me like right now, the way we're living, we are captives. We better realize we captives. And when we run off with the mouth, all we're doing is selling wolf tickets. So we don't have nothing to back it up. So, you know,
that's right.
I agree with that brother 100%.
Yeah.
First thing first, admit it. We're captives. In a hostile land.
That's right.
Once we admit that, then it's time to.
Well, listen, brother, I appreciate this conversation. I got to go. I'm past the time, and I know that there'll be time next week. So I hope you get a chance to call in Monday, Wednesday, or Friday next week and continue this conversation. Brothers, I appreciate you. And the sisters, I appreciate you. Brothers and sisters, once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We end this program, like we end all of our programs, with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind, but not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for it. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. A great weekend. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Abiva Hodie. Abiva Hodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a wonderful day. Peace, family.